Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's a morning show on a Tuesday with John and Hugh. United tonight, 7:30. Coverage begins from Kennesaw.
Bad to the bone. It's Tuesday.
From the Kia Studios, John and Hugh. Hawks last night fell to Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid had 49. And, yeah, the Hawks probably could have used a little Clint Capella action. I don't know when we'll see him. But I kind of hope you will see him before the end of the year.
Probably not.
Yeah, but probably not. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Probably not.
Probably not. Falcons brass and everybody up at the combine in Indianapolis where they're measuring people out. Matter of fact, you can go to our Twitter. It'll show you how to measure your hands because Jake Fromm had little hands. It'll show you how to measure your hands, how they do it on our Twitter at 929thegame and see what ours measured out at. And you could do your, when you get to work, you can put your hand down and measure your hands. You got bigger hands than Jake Fromm and check it out. Braves getting ready today to play the Twins down in spring training. I had somebody the other day send me a tweet you and said, it's spring training. It don't matter what they do down there. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but boy, I think it matters a lot.
Well, you want to get up to speed. You want to get ready for the upcoming season, and you want to work on certain things that you might want to improve on. So yeah, it does matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter if they win. Who cares?
I don't think.
But he wasn't talking about that.
Yeah, you want to work on certain things. I would think that pitchers want to work on certain pitches. You know, who was it they were talking about working on another pitch, add another pitch to their arsenal? I think it was Soroka. Was it Soroka? I think that's what it was. But basically the bottom line is this, you know, working on different aspects of your game. That's what spring training is for.
Well, we've had three outings so far. And granted, we're only getting a couple of innings, or in yesterday's case, one out. King Felix had two strong innings. Again, what does it really mean? I don't know, but I will say that for King Felix, two strong innings doesn't necessarily mean anything, but for Bryce Wilson, a bad outing means a bad outing because it goes kind of on your record, Hugh, because they're keeping track here.
Well, they're keeping track of the King Felix too, John. I mean, even though it was against the Baltimore Orioles, you know, to have the outing that he had, that's a confidence builder. You know, it's funny because he's a guy who's working his way back. So everything positive that he does goes to his confidence. It goes to build his confidence. And that's how you have to look at it. Everything that you do, even if it's in a small sampling size, you could take something positive from that, especially if it's something good. So that's kind of how I look at it. Good, not a bad, like not a whole lot to look to hang your hat on, but it's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Austin Riley is going to go today. That'll be interesting. One thing to keep your eye on and everybody focused in on third base when really it's all about these pitchers. You had King Felix go two innings strong. Bryce Wilson, not a good outing. And then yesterday, Max Fried got one out and let up three runs, and they yanked him out of the game. Now, again, whether that's indicative of the long term here, it does go to the fact that I am not settled as a Braves fan in this pitching rotation, Hugh. I think I've got Mike Soroka penciled in as my number one guy, and everything after that is wide open.
Yeah, and I think that's how they're looking at it as well. You know, Cole Hamels was a guy that he factored in to that lineup somewhere. And those other guys, I think at this point, Soroka's your number one. I think that's how they're looking at it. And then everybody else is going to pitch their way into the position that they think that they would be better suited in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would be King Felix as well. I think he's another guy that even though it's a small sampling size, they're they're probably a little bit encouraged by what he did.
Oh no,
I mean
no.
They know they know it was against Baltimore.
Oh, I'm sure
but they're encouraged by what he did.
I'm encouraged by what he did. You know, I mean, if he gives us anything, hey, listen, if King Felix becomes anything, Hugh, if he's on the team this year and gets us, you know, like I said, one out, that's more than I expected. If he starts getting us victories, and who knows, maybe he becomes the story of the year in baseball. Wow,
maybe.
Look at him. You never know.
Maybe, you know.
Today, Mike Foltynewicz.
Folty. Same thing. Not going to read too much into it. Would like him to have, you know, fan a couple batters, you know, strike a couple folks out.
Yep.
That's it. Not a whole lot. I'm not going to read too much into it. Now, if he goes out there and just works like a shift, then even I'm not going to read too much into that. But, again, going back to confidence builders, it's not a great way to start off your confidence. It wouldn't be. And it would be something that he would definitely, you know, even though as a player you say, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal, it kind of is, because you have in your mind where you want to be. And it might even be a situation where it might be something he might look at the first game, or they might have told him, hey, work on some pitches that you're not that great at. Do that and see what you can do with that first. Maybe he might start it out like that. That's how, you know, you kind of have to look at it. But I would think that with the last outing that you had, that you would at least come out and try to build your confidence a little bit, mm-hmm. and throw stuff you're comfortable with. And then maybe after that, then you start experimenting a little bit. But I think that's what it is, because I hear it all the time. I hear when pitchers talk about some of the things that they want to work on, or, mm-hmm. or certain pitches they want to work on, sliders or cutters or something like whatever. He might be wanting to be in a situation like that. But initially, I'm throwing something that I'm comfortable with.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, first time he's faced a batter from another team since.
Mm-hmm.
Since being taken out,
so
I would think
that, you know, perfect world, you know, going out there, he'll want to throw something where he's in his wheelhouse, something that he's, you know, bread and butter. Go with bread and butter.
Yeah, so we're going to be focused in a little bit today on how does Austin Riley do, but more importantly, how does Mike Foltynewicz do, and what's the battle's going to be. One of the interesting little things that developed yesterday, Hugh, Ray scored three runs. All three were driven in by Drew Waters and Christian Pache. So here are these two young center fielders, you know, that both are trying to vie for being potentially the center fielder for the Atlanta Braves, mm-hmm. at some point, maybe this year in the case of Christian Pache, maybe a month into the season in the case of Christian Pache. So keeping our eyes on that. So there are a lot of storylines down there that are really intriguing to watch.
Yeah, and I was just told in my ear by Abe, the producer, that Marcel Ozuna, we get a chance to look at him today.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be something intriguing to look at, see how he looks.
Yeah, so Ozuna and Riley, and how, you know, I wonder where they'll bat Riley. It'd be interesting if they batted him right after Ozuna. And again, I know that I understand, because you could look at what are they facing. They're facing double-A pitchers and triple-A pitchers, or they're facing double-A hitters or triple-A hitters. I get that it's spring training and that it's exhibition. But at the same time, you're going to have to, if you're Brian Snicker and Rick Kranitz, the pitching coach, if you're going to have to make your decisions based on the 26-man roster and your rotation and who's going to start at certain positions to a great degree on what you see down there in Florida. Because you're going to have to break camp with 26 guys, Hugh, and you're going to have some order to start with.
Yeah. And I think that as we go through this process, and you know, we're getting a small sample size, John. They get to see those guys every day. It's going to be easier for them to make their decision and assessments as we go through this. Well, we're just, 3 days in to actual playing games?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a little – I would think that it's a little premature. And it's a process. You don't want anybody peaking too soon in your pitching staff. And I would be curious to see what everybody else is doing. You know, we're focused on the Braves, and we're concerned about them, yes. But I would be curious to see how everybody else's pitching staff is looking right now.
And Ian Anderson had a bit of a rough outing yesterday. But, again, I'm willing to give all these guys another chance. But at some point you have to, especially if you're like Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright, Ian Anderson I'm not counting on being in this rotation right now. But if Wilson or Wright wants to be the fifth starter, they're going to have to show me in spring that they can do that. I mean, I would think that you know, at some point, Hugh, you're given enough chances and they have to say, okay, that's it.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's how it usually works, John. I mean, that's what I'm kind of counting on. But like I said earlier, that right now it's a real, real small sampling size, real, real small. So I don't think it's a need to you know, get all, you know, panicky. Not saying that you are, But just saying, no need to get all panicky right now.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, the Braves the lineup is out, and Riley will bat after Ozuna today. So it'll be Acuna and then Albies, then Freeman. Then, oh, by the way, did you see the story about Freddie Freeman talking about painkillers? He apparently was taking so many extra strength Tylenol last year that he said to The Athletic that it was making his vision blurry during the year.
How many was he taking?
Yeah, a lot, apparently, because of his ongoing issues. A lot. What is
it, with the elbow?
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully they got to do all that now. I wonder what this, I bet you probably had all kind of acid reflux and stuff with his stomach playing all that ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So if he's over that, I mean, if it made his vision blurry and he struggled with the elbow all year long and he said it was, you know, an ongoing thing where it was pain and he couldn't handle the pain of his elbow, he still hit 38 home runs with 124 RBIs and 300.
What strength ibuprofen was he taking? That must have been doctor prescribed, because that you ain't about to get that over the counter that's going to make that feel any better. Must have been that good stuff.
We're talking baseball here as the Braves get ready today. Again, it'll be Mike Foltynewicz on the mound. We'll get to see him and Marcell Ozuna batting fourth and Austin Riley batting fifth in a spring training game down in Florida against the Minnesota Twins. But baseball yesterday is spring training, and Jose Altuve got a little taste of what's to come. Because, yeah, here we go.
Batting second, the second baseman, number 27, Jose Altuve.
And if that's all it is, he could probably live. Buzz him on up. By the way, he got hit with a pitch in the game, too.
Yeah, and he just took his base. No biggie. It didn't look like it was that egregious. He hit one down the line, too, and I heard those people clapping for that. That's the funny. Like, no disrespect, but fans are funny. I mean, and they're fickle. No question about that. And you would think that they would keep the same energy that throughout the whole thing. But when he hit that one down the line, because I think it was 1-for-2 or something like that, 1-for-3. But when he hit the one down the line, there were some people clapping. So, I mean, and the reality is this. The Houston Astros are still going to be a pretty good baseball team. I mean, you know, they're probably still going to be in the playoffs, regardless of the scandal or whatnot. I think that's what people are mad about. So, you know, this will probably go on. You know, there's going to be one that – there's going to be one individual that's going to, you know, stand strong, and they're going to ride this thing all the way out to the bitter end. But, man, this is a bit much. The way that people are acting is a bit much, in my opinion.
I guess. I think that they – I mean, right now I think booing is fine. I mean, as long as they don't start throwing things, that's my concern.
They probably won't do that. And then – I wonder how people are going to be all tired after the they're going to be too tired to boo and be mad at the Boston Red Sox, because they're going to spend up all the energy being mad at the Houston Astros.
Well, it'll be fascinating. It'll be fascinating. We'll see what kind of a year Altuve has. If his numbers go way down, you know, that'll be, oh man.
Yeah. V103 is live. And back is, wait a minute, let me start this over. V103 Live is back on Saturday, March 28th at State Farm Arena, featuring a huge night of hip-hop starring Lil Baby, Da Baby, Wale, and more. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster outlets, at all Ticketmaster outlets. For more information, go to the event page at 929thegame.com. That's 929thegame.com.
Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, live next on this Tuesday as we talk Hawks basketball and NBA and more. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Morning show, Atlanta. Trying to deal with all this rain and whatnot and fog and stuff. Do be careful out there if you're driving around, all right? We want you to arrive alive and all that kind of good stuff. Hawks last night took one on the chin to one of the better young teams in the NBA, Philadelphia 76ers, but bounce right back, and they got a game coming up tomorrow night at home against the Orlando Magic. We welcome into the program the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, as we do every Tuesday. Travis Schlenk joins us this morning. Travis, welcome back to the show.
Trav, how you doing?
I'm well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Not too bad, not too bad. Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah, I got something caught in my throat, Trav. I'm all right. I was about to say something else, but I forget. Yeah, yeah. But, Trav, how do you feel about this load management thing that's going on tonight with the Dallas Mavericks and things of that nature?
Well, it's you know, it's not an easy problem to come to a solution with. You know, with today's NBA and all the resources we have and all the money that we put into the athletes and, you know, keeping them healthy and trying to extend their careers. You know, we got guys coming back off of ACLs. You know, Kristoff, you know, hadn't played a back-to-back all year long. So, you know, it's probably unrealistic to think that they're going to change that just for our game the other night. And, you know, Luka, they said his ankle got swollen up after the game from Orlando. It's not easy. You know, these athletes know their body. You know, the NBA season is a long grind, and we just have so much more information out there about, you know, extending careers. It's not an easy solution.
Talking with Travis Link, general manager of the Hawks. But is there a solution? Is it possible that, Travis, the league could do something to minimize the number of back-to-backs or make back-to-backs only home games? Are there ways to possibly tweak the schedule to do this?
No, and listen, the league's done that. You know, more so when it comes to national TV games. You know, all teams now, when they're going to play national TV games, you know, those games are never on back-to-backs. You know, they've lengthened the season already. You know, it used to be the first games of the NBA season started, you know, Halloween. Most teams started in November. And now, you know, we're starting about the middle of the month, you know, adding those extra 2 weeks of the season to eliminate back-to-backs. You know, the number of back-to-backs have been cut down for teams. So it's certainly something forefront on the NBA's mind. You know, in a perfect world, we'd love to see everybody, you know, play 82 games. There's also been talk about shortening the season. I'm sure you guys have heard that, you know, dropping it down to 70 games or something like that, just to, you know, limit the wear and tear on these athletes to be able to extend their careers.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Travis. I don't see that happening. If I'm an owner, I mean, geez, you want to lose, you know, six home gates? That's a tall order. Player Association probably saying, I don't know about that
either.
Same
thing with the players. You know, they get paid. They get paid by the game too. So, you know, there's not an easy solution. Those are all just options that are on the table.
Sports Radio 92.9 Game. We're talking to the GM of the Atlanta Hawks, Travis Link. Now, Trav, last night, the game against the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid had a career night last night. Games like that, do you look at that and say, man, Clint Capella probably would have made a huge difference if he was out there on the court? And if that's the case, when do you think he'll be back? Or will we get a chance to see him this year?
Yeah, I think we'll certainly get a chance to see him this year. You know, really the big thing that he's dealing with right now is a bone bruise. And as you know, that with a bone bruise, obviously that's to the bone, and you know that takes a little bit longer. You know, he also has some plantar fasciitis in the same foot. That's coming along real well. You know, he's up to straight line running now. In the next week or so, we'll progress him into you know, more cutting and side to side running. And you know, every day we just kind of add a little bit more to him as long as he handles it, and then we keep building him up. But, you know, certainly last night he would have been a help in the lane, guarding Joel. You know, Dwayne got two fouls real quick, and, you know, we had to play small. But, you know, he's a talented guy, and when Joel's motivated, you know, he's extremely skilled. He's a tough cover.
Travis Link, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Tomorrow night, the Atlanta Hawks back home at State Farm Arena against the Orlando Magic. Pregame at 7, tip at 7:30, and tickets are available for the game between the Hawks and the Magic at Hawks.com. Travis, I want to step over here for a second. You and I have been talking a lot about today about measurables that they're doing in the NFL Combine and about how, you know, you look at players on film, like, you know, in the NFL or in college basketball, you watch them play and then suddenly they get to a combine and you're measuring them versus other people and going, oh, well, that guy's bigger, taller, got a bigger wingspan, blah, 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 blah. How much do measurables matter? You can keep it to basketball when you're starting to think about the draft coming up here versus what you see when you watch them on film or in person.
Well, I think it's just like anything. It's just another piece of the puzzle. You know, I'm probably more old school in my evaluation than a lot of people, certainly a lot of the younger people, where, you know, it's just like analytics. The analytics are a piece of the puzzle. You know, the physical attributes are a piece of the puzzle. The player's character is a piece of the puzzle. You know, you put all these pieces together and try to get the best picture you can of them. But it's certainly important. I mean, obviously, the bigger you are, the quicker you are, you know, the stronger you are, those can be advantageous. But there's a lot of big, strong, fast, quick people out there that aren't any good at basketball, too. So it's just a piece of the puzzle.
You know what, Trav? You said something a couple years ago that has stuck with me to this day, especially when it's talking about this time of year and evaluating players. You know, and you're looking for that guy who's going to transcend just being happy being drafted. And he wants to project to be a better player. What is it that you look for to kind of give you a hint on whether or not that guy is that guy? You know, the guy that's going to be not just happy being drafted. He wants to be a transcendent player.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you saw or played with lots of those guys in your time in the NFL. I'm sure it's the same there. And it's really the hardest part about this job, right? You know, in the NBA, unlike, you know, football, where you guys have to be in college for at least 3 years, here, you know, kids can, you know, come out of 1 year of college or, you know, 1 year of playing overseas. So you're trying to project what an 18, 19-year-old kid, what his motivations are, and when they might not even know themselves what their motivations are. So it's really trying to get to the bottom of you know, what their internal motivation is, and trying to figure out, you know, do they ask them simple questions like, you know, what do you most want out of the NBA? And, you know, for some of them, you know, they say, oh, I want to be an all-star, or, oh, you know, I want to be a starter, or, you know, when guys start talking about, you know, I want to win a championship, or I want to be the greatest of all time, you know, those are little flashes that, you know, stick with you. You know, unfortunately, there's one kid we ask, you know, what are you looking forward to? He goes, oh, I'm looking forward to the nightlife. You know, that's also a red flag.
Right.
It's just all the different questions and trying to get to know these guys and talking to everybody in their lives, whether it's their AU coaches, the high school principals, and just trying to get the best feel you can for what motivates these kids.
Yeah, those red flags, I imagine, they fly pretty quick. And that's where the interview process becomes so critical, I would think.
No, for sure.
Yeah, and we're talking with Travis Schlenk as we get ready for, of course, the NBA draft is going to be coming up too, and the Hawks will be a prominent member of that once again this year. And your assessing of talent here, is it more difficult this year when we talk about the players that are available just at large because of the fact that college basketball, we've talked about this before, is so balanced? I mean, last week we had number one, number two, number four, number six, number nine. They all lose, and we have no clue. We're sitting around in Atlanta going, we don't know what we're going to get in the Final Four. When there's no dominant teams, does that make it more difficult for all the teams in the NBA to assess talent?
No, I think what's making it more difficult this year is we have a lot of players that, you know, aren't playing anymore. You know, when you talk about Wiseman, who's left Memphis, you talk about Ball, who's left his team in Australia, you talk about R.J. Hampton, who's left his team in Australia. You know, those are three kids that are projected to go, you know, fairly high in this draft, and all three of them are done playing. So I think, you know, not having, you know, even having that short 30-game window to be able to watch these kids play a normal NCAA season, which, you know, a lot of people wish we had more than, now we have even fewer games. So, you know, that's what's going to make it difficult. I think the competitive balance in the NCAA tournament, I think, is going to make for a really exciting tournament. And, you know, it's going to make for a lot of really great office, you know, bracket pools. It's just, instead of, you know, being able to pencil in four teams, you know, they're going to be in Atlanta this year at the Final Four, to, you know, have, you know, really 10, 12 teams that you could really make an argument that they get hot, they could make it.
Yeah, speaking of that, the bracket time coming right around the corner, Trav. I know.
I'm working
with all
hard
these,
for you, man. I'm
telling
you.
But I would imagine it's probably kind of hard with all these teams being up and down and, you know, number one changing so much. It's probably going to be a tough time this year, no question.
Yeah, no, I think we talked about this in the past. I think this is a year you could really see, you know, one of these mid-majors that has a roster full of, you know, juniors and seniors, if, you know, they have good guard play, they could really make a run.
Yeah, I'm going to look for that. Like, juniors and seniors, John, I'm looking,
right,
about to take notes, and good guard play. So that's probably how I'm going to build my bracket. I'm going to start there.
Well, I think the guard play, yeah, the whole thing about guard play hasn't changed at all, has it? I mean, it's always been a guard tournament, I think, pretty much.
Yeah, no, it really is. You know, if you have good guard play, you can go a long way. So that's certainly very important because those guys, you know, they're kind of a coach on the floor, so they can really dictate a game.
Sounds like a man spoken from a position of where he's won a few bracket tournaments. I'm just thinking that maybe that – that has been you, Travis.
I don't know if I ever have.
Really? You never won a bracket? I won one time. Total luck, mind you.
I have never come close to winning one, but I like to play the game, though. I definitely like to play the game.
I try to outsmart myself and think I know more than I do instead of just going with what people do.
I hope you know more than you think you do. That would be a good thing for me as a Hawks fan. That's all I'm saying. Travis, as always, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, have a good week.
Alrighty. You as well.
Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Hawks. United fans, you're going up to Nashville for the match this weekend. You can join Friday, 1 to 6, Friday, day before the match, 1 to 6 Central Time at Gate Brewery Music Row. Gate Brewery Music Row in Nashville for 90 Time the Game's Atlanta United Welcome Party on Friday evening. Dukes of Bell going to be broadcasting live a special episode of Stoppage Time with Mike and Jason. We'll have United prize giveaways, special guests, and more. So if you're going up to Nashville, 1 to 6 Central Time, that's Nashville time, at the Gate Brewery Music Row on Friday for that special broadcast. All right, when we get back, big story is the NFL Combine. What are you thinking about the NFL Combine? Give us your thoughts. Do you make anything of this whole Jake Fromm small hands thing? Are you worried about the measurables? What are you looking for? If you're going to be watching the Combine this week and you're a Falcons fan, what do you want to see that's going to make you go, oh, yeah, that's what we need now? With John and you on Sports Radio 90, trying the game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 time the game. The Combine is underway in Indianapolis. They're doing measurements, and we were having some fun this morning on our Twitter with the hand measurements of Jake Fromm.
Got little hands.
Where he came in at under 9 inches, at 8 7/8 inches. And by comparison, Jordan Love, the quarterback at Utah State, the hand span, I guess, was 10 1/2 inches. So how much, you know, over an inch and a half larger than Jake Fromm.
That's a big difference.
And we showed you on our Twitter how you measure, too, if you want to compare the size of your hands. Because all of us, Abe had the same size hands as Fromm. And then Oren, you and I, well, you've got big hands, Hugh, all had bigger hands than Jake Fromm did in terms of. And I don't think I have that hands that are very big, frankly. But we had bigger hands than Jake Fromm.
Damn, Skippy.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I mean, if they get caught up in it, you know.
But it's a big deal for quarterbacks, no question about that. It's a big deal for quarterbacks to have big hands because it goes to, you know, fumbling the football and being able to control the football and you know, velocity and all the good stuff. So that's what it is. Well, that's why they measure me.
And people say, well, you know, I don't really care what the measurables are. By and large, I agree. And we have some time here today, this morning, to talk to you, too, at 404-741-0929 about what you want to see from the NFL Combine. By and large, I agree with Travis Schlenk, and I'm kind of old school, Hugh. Not that all of it doesn't matter. The interviews matter. The measurables matter. The game film matters. All of it matters, okay? But to me, when you're watching a player play football, in college especially, because you get such a deep body of work, 3 years of work, to watch him, can the guy play football? Does he make plays? Yes or no? And my perfect example of that was Terrell Suggs. When he was at Arizona State, Hugh, he owned the field. Owned the field.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the combine. He ran like a 4.9 or something. He went back to Arizona State and said, okay, I got to do a better 40 time. Ran like a 5.0, and everybody went, oh, no, we're off Suggs. And I went, oh,
man,
I
one of the better pass rushers of the era.
Right.
Like, no question. One of the better pass rushers of the era. Hell of a player, still playing this day, just got a Super Bowl ring. So, yeah, it's those measurables, man. It depends on how you do things and what means what to you. You know, because a lot of teams, they look at those and they live and die by those measurements. And some teams look at them and be like, you know, they gauge the guy, the person. It's not an exact science. That's why as much grief as Thomas Dimitroff gets, I mean, he's no different than any other GM that tries to go out and get the best players for the system that you're trying to implement and, you know, try to make things work. You never know what makes a person tick. And there are certain intangibles that happen to that person that changes that in some instances. So it's always a crapshoot. especially when you're giving somebody a ton of money, a windfall of money, if you will.
Now, like, for example, I'll give you an example where measurables might come into play a little bit, and that's a wide receiver. Because Jerry Jeudy at Alabama, CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma, and T. Higgins at Clemson were all great, great, great wide receivers in college, right? We all understand all three were great. So they go out and they get get measured. Jeudy comes in at 6'1", with a wingspan tip-to-tip on his arms of 76 inches. CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma gets it 6'1 and 5'8", also a 76-inch wingspan. T. Higgins of Clemson goes out there. He's 6'3 and 5'8". So he's a good 2 inches taller than CeeDee Lamb and 2.5 inches taller than Jerry Jeudy. And his wingspan is 4 inches longer at 80 inches. Now, Hugh, here's where I think that might matter. Because depending on the vertical leap and some of the other things here, separation is one thing in the NFL. Being able to go up and get contested catches over people, that's another.
Yeah, but then being able to, like, actually catch the ball without, you know, using your body is a big thing, too. And, you know, Marvin Harrison wasn't the biggest receiver out there, but he was one of the most dangerous. He was dangerous. Like, look at him compared to, like, a Terrell Owens or a Jerry Rice. Like, his stature is totally different than theirs, but he was still a formidable player. Another guy. Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Famer, he catched everything that was in his catch radius. Probably one of the best receivers that I've ever seen play. Big guy, could run, a physical guy. It just all depends. You know, and then you have some guys that are not that big, and they're still good receivers. It all depends on what you're trying to run and the offense that you're trying to implement. Like you talk about Megatron. Megatron just was a man among boys. He was just, like, out physical and everybody. Terrell Owens, the same thing. It's just the all depends on what you want. But all of those receivers that you talked about, they can get the job done. No doubt in my mind.
Well, with the NFL Combine being on in primetime this year, I'm going to give you a reason if you're a Falcons fan to watch Thursday and Friday and not just settle for watching the defensive tackles and the defensive ends go through their workouts on Saturday night. On Thursday, you have the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and the tight ends. Now, the Falcons are not in the market for a wide receiver to the degree that they might be in a market for a quarterback. You would be seventh round. You know, I mean, that they're not in a market for a quarterback. Tight end's a different story because we don't know what's going to happen with Austin Hooper. And suddenly, from a measurable standpoint, one guy is suddenly capturing everybody's attention, which I want to say, well, duh. I mean, did he not watch him play college football and all he did was make plays? Everybody is now saying that Notre Dame's Cole Kmet is like a surefire, big-time NFL star tight end. I went, yeah, I could have told you that just based on, oh, his measurables came in. He was big and strong, long arms, big hands. And everybody went, oh, no, he's got all the, he looks like Gronk. Well, yeah, I mean, he was pretty darn good. He was on, Georgia knew that. Georgia couldn't stop him, Hugh. I mean, and so suddenly Cole Kmet becomes a top 15 pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes, John. Guys go to the combine and people get to see him. And they get wild by them, and they fall in love with the big size. And I would guarantee you that on somebody's notes, he has been compared to a Gronk style. And somebody is looking at film, and they envision him being the same kind of player that Gronk was. I mean, and that's how it works. Like, you got certain guys that – certain body types that when they look at those body types, people get excited about it. You know, I remember the year that I got drafted, Kevin Carter – was like the prototype. Like, he was what you wanted in a defensive lineman. Like, and he could put on a little bit of size. Kevin was a good player, but the question was whether or not he was hungry. And you know what they attributed him not being hungry to? Because his family was well off. Like, his family had money, so we don't know if he's gonna want it like everybody else is gonna want it because he comes from money, which is interesting. But that's, you know, it. It all depends on how people view you, for real.
I'm going to make the case that the Falcons, because the latest mock drafts are out from everybody pre the combine here, are going to use their first and their first pick of the second round, those two top picks, on the offensive side of the football. I'll tell you what I'm thinking next and see if you agree. 404-741-0929, or you're going to scream, no! I'm telling you, what if they do? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.